Hillary Clinton apologized last night, said she made a mistake when she used a personal email account for state business as Secretary of State.
But in retrospect, certainly, as I look back at it now, even though it was allowed, I should have used two accounts, one for personal, one for work-related emails. That was a mistake. I'm sorry about that. I take responsibility. And I'm trying to be as transparent as I possibly can to not only release 55,000 pages of my emails, turn over my server, but I am looking forward, finally, to testifying before Congress.
Hillary Clinton there. It's time for our weekly look at the latest in national politics. On the campaign trail, Ben Carson has surged to second in Iowa, just behind Donald Trump, and Democrats are still waiting to see if Vice President Joe Biden will run.
And Congress is back in session as of yesterday, beginning the countdown to the end of the month when the government's funding will run out. Our regular guest, Harry Enten, is out today. Here with us, though, is Central Time veteran Paul Singer. He is USA Today's Washington correspondent. Good to have you back, Paul.
Great to be back with you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Hillary Clinton. She's been not quite apologizing or saying she made a mistake up until this new interview. Does this change anything?
I'm not sure it does. Part of the problem, I think, for the Clinton campaign is that the story just continues to dribble and drab out. And it's one of those things where if she had started this conversation 3 months ago by saying, you know, this was a bad idea, I'm sorry, we shouldn't have done it this way, you know, how can we help make this right? It would have basically taken away a lot of the steam for this story. Instead, she has been saying all along, well, you know, we didn't do anything wrong, and we're trying to, you know, be transparent, and yet new things keep appearing on the story every couple of days, and it just dogs them. They can't seem to shake this story, and I'm not sure this helps all that much.
And there'd been criticism and frustration expressed by her fellow Democrats that she hadn't taken this more seriously and done so sooner.
Yeah, you know, crisis management 101 is get it all out there, get ahead of the story, and don't leave more. Make it into a one-day story, as it were. Now, this is probably never going to be a one-day story because she's running for president, but I think they probably could have done much more from a crisis management standpoint about getting ahead of this story instead of always being behind it.
Now, you mentioned this apology doesn't mark the end of it. Could it actually have more damage now since it's been festering for a while and reignite criticism of her?
I don't know. I mean, I think the issue at this point is obviously they keep producing batches of emails out of the State Department. If anything in there ends up being incendiary, thus far none of them have been. Then, you know, that reignites the story. And then, of course, the we're waiting for her October testimony before the Benghazi committee. That will be the next great moment in this tale, I believe, when she'll have an opportunity to defend herself in a public forum, and she'll be Republicans have an opportunity to put her on the spot in a public forum.
Let's turn to Republicans now. The rest of the race, USA Today, your place of operation, released its second week of GOP power rankings for presidential candidates. Big jump for Carly Fiorina.
Yeah.
First, tell us about these power rankings. How do you get there?
Well, we make it up.
Dartboard.
Yeah, right. We got 30 smart people, and we asked them to weigh in every week, sort of like the coaches poll in college football. We just asked experts, who do you think is the strongest candidate this week? And each week they've been giving us responses. It's really interesting. We've been very vague about what we mean by strongest. We've let them sort of determine what they think the strongest candidate is each week. And indeed, Donald Trump and Ben Carson have been at the top of this. This outsider movement is really apparently taking hold in the Republican Party. And then this week, our experts, panel of experts, said that Carly Fiorina has really leapt to the forefront, in part because her inclusion in the CNN main stage debate next week suddenly puts her amongst the top tier of candidates and gives her a chance to prove that she belongs there.
Right. And she had a big jump in polling and just general respect, I think, based on her pre-debate performance, the also-rans, if you will, debate. That's part of what got her into the main stage now. Is this translating into things like polling support? Are more people taking her seriously?
Yeah, I mean, you see her numbers rising. I mean, again, she's not leaping up into the, you know, 20% support range where you'll find Donald Trump and possibly Ben Carson. But she is, you know, up into the top tier, as it were. You know, if she's taking, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 7% in a poll, that's enough to make you top tier when you've got 17 candidates in the field. So again, I mean, I think this is the kind of moment in a campaign where she has gotten an entree to make her case. Now, let's see how she does in the debate next week and whether she can cement that position. If nothing else, as the only woman in the field, she's distinctive, and I think that plays to her credit.
You mentioned Ben Carson a couple times there, number two in your power ranking behind Donald Trump. Trump obviously getting a lot of attention. Ben Carson maybe not getting as much media attention. Well, nobody's getting as much as Trump, right. I guess. Why is Ben Carson doing so well?
You know, what people have said about Carson is that he is doing a terrific job of offering a very reasoned, or that is to say, less combative and less bellicose version of a true conservative vision than Donald Trump. So whereas Trump is flashy and loud and in your face, Carson is none of those things. He's very measured. He's kind of quiet. And people have really responded well, particularly in Iowa. We're finding the religious conservatives there, who make up a big part of the caucus voters, have really responded well to Dr. Carson, and that's really propelled him in the polls.
Before we move on to power rankings, if I can make an NFL analogy, yeah. You can't base too much on what happened in the preseason.
That's right.
This is preseason,
that's
kind of.
Right.
A lot could change.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're trying to be very clear with the people that, you know, none of this matters until somebody casts a vote. And at the moment, no one's casting a vote. However, I do believe it is true that if you troll at the bottom of the polls for too long, you just stop being able to raise any money, and then your campaign just sort of runs out of gas. I think that's the danger that someone like Rick Perry is facing right now.
Talking to Paul Singer from USA Today on our weekly look at national politics, a touchy issue for candidates, this Kentucky story, the Round County clerk just out of jail now over a refusal to administer same-sex marriage licenses. How are candidates, Republican candidates in particular, responding to that?
Well, you know, Mike Huckabee was sort of at the forefront of standing, literally standing next to her as she was released from jail. This is sort of a sweet spot for Huckabee with the religious conservative voters. That's where Huckabee really lives in this field. You know, he's sort of proud to stand there. Ted Cruz was also at that event. There's a little bit, possibly a bit of a tiff between Huckabee and Cruz over who is the real religious conservative here, but nevertheless. And then in sort of, you know, descending order, the other candidates, proclaimed her right to her position. I think for the Republicans in this race, the issue becomes one of religious liberty. They're trying to make this a religious liberty argument that you need to have the right to practice your faith, and that the courts shouldn't steamroll that. The opposition, of course, says, yes, but gays have a right to be married, and you shouldn't be able to sit in a government position and say they can't once the Supreme Court says they can.
Let's move into Congress. And, Paul, it seems like old times. There's a funding deadline and talk of a shutdown. I've uttered that sentence to you many times over the last couple of years, I think. Give us the latest.
Run tape of a previous
Yeah,
show.
Exactly. Take a break now. But this time, a little different cause now, Planned Parenthood funding.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to be clear, there is at the heart of this a dispute about funding levels, and, you know, Republicans are going to want more money for the Defense Department, and Democrats are going to want more money for some of the domestic programs. So there is still a real battle there. But yeah, the fear now is that Planned Parenthood funding is going to be the sticking point. Ultimately, they have until September 30th to do something to make sure the government doesn't run out of money. And a bunch of the conservatives, Republican conservatives primarily, are bucking for a sentence that would bar Planned Parenthood from getting any federal funding. This is based on these videos that have been, the undercover videos that have been released, suggesting that Planned Parenthood might have been, or some people at Planned Parenthood might have been, discussing selling tissue from abortions. Planned Parenthood, of course, completely denies that was the case. We'll see. I mean, it's not clear how you solve this, because there's no real negotiation. You either do fund or don't fund Planned Parenthood. And if you have 30 or 40 conservative Republicans saying we are not going to vote for this bill unless it defunds Planned Parenthood, then you got to get some Democrats to support the bill. And so what do you got to give them? that becomes a very difficult dance for particularly Republican Speaker John Boehner.
Absent that Planned Parenthood issue, would anybody be talking shutdown in this this time around?
Well, probably not, although, you know, there would be some other issues that would pop up, whether it's the export-import bank that people are concerned about. You know, some people want to shut down just because it makes for good theater. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, the Republicans no longer have 54 members in the Senate. They have 50 members in the Senate plus four guys running for president, and who knows where they're going to be on any of these issues.
Right. That adds a wrinkle to this. They are looking over their shoulder at early primary voters who are watching their behavior on an issue like this.
That's right. And it makes it a little more complicated for the Republican leadership because they can't just expect fealty to the party when you ultimately have to make some sort of splash in a presidential campaign. So it's going to be interesting. I honestly don't know how this plays out, but the threat of a shutdown seems as real as it has seemed in the past couple of years. So we'll see.
A common outcome, a temporary push it down the road kind of solution. Is that a likely outcome this time?
Yeah, well, that's what they'll, I mean, I think the Republican leadership is going to try to get to is if they can get a, you know, a 2 or 3 month extension, and then they can have a little more time to fight this out. I mean, I mentioned in one of my stories this week that the last time Congress actually passed all of its appropriations bills by the end of the fiscal year, that is, you know, September 30th, was 1997. Like every year we do this, we get to a point where they can't actually fund the government, they need a little more time, they extend a little while, and then they throw all these bills, 12 separate appropriations bills, into one giant mess, an omnibus bill with who knows what in it, we find out 6 months later.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Great to talk to you again.
That was USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. We cover the latest in national politics every week at this time.